I don't know what it is about that song, but every time we sing it, I just get so grateful because I don't deserve the life that I got today, you guys. God has saved me. He's delivered me. And it's just like, holy, holy is the Lamb. Like, Jesus, you looked on a sinner, a filthy sinner, and you died in my place and you saved me. And I just get so grateful this time of year. Just how we celebrate his birth. I mean, it's just, it's special. So, there's my emo, my little emo moment with you. We only got one announcement today, and that's that we are doing a special candlelight Christmas Eve service from 6 to 7. I'd love to see you. I know that we all got a lot going on, but if you can make it, we'd love to have you. It's going to be special. Yeah, that's it. All right. Title of my message today is The Miracle of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us, to give us an example of how to live, to bridge the gap between a holy God and a sinner. We love you, Lord. We bless you today and be exalted today in this message. And give us ears to hear, God, all of the eternal truths that you've given to us through the reality of the scriptures. I pray everybody leave with a nugget today that they can live on and thrive on for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that Christmas is right around the corner, I understand that the traditional pressures of this holiday can sometimes weigh people down. Presents to buy with a limited income, limited time to get it all completed, an empty chair where one once sat at Christmas dinner, and trauma triggers from family members that seem to remain the same after all these years. I want to encourage you today to keep your eyes on Jesus and your salvation in him this holiday. I'm not trying to minimize the effect that pain, sadness, and anxiety have on us. What I am saying is, God loves you, and he's for you. So much so that he gave part of himself in the person of Jesus Christ to prove that ultimately in him, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the broken will walk again. The sick will be healed, and the dead will live forever in glory. Salvation has come to those desperate enough to fully surrender to the Almighty God. The miracle of Jesus Christ is this. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin named Mary. He lived a sinless life in thought, word, and deed. Illuminated by the Holy Spirit, he drew out the truths of Scripture and preached them better than anybody ever has or ever will. Then he chose to take the place of punishment on the cross for the sinner. But because no sin was found in him, death could not keep him down. He rose again to go before us in the resurrected life, so that all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ shall be saved. Today I want to look at some of the miracles Jesus performed and the eternal message that is conveyed by them. Jesus did everything on purpose for a purpose. Blessed be his name. Amen? Let's get into it. So first I want to talk about, picked a few miracles here today, guys. There's a ton of them in the Gospels, even more that he did that weren't written down, but I prayed about it, and I just felt God had me pick out these particular miracles because they're significant. First, I have a couple examples of Jesus' miracle over circumstances. And I chose Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. He's been ministering to people by a lake, and he's been sitting in a boat. The crowds got so big that he's been sitting in this boat teaching people. And we pick it up in verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, I know this story is familiar to many of you, but I want to look at a couple things here. First, it says that they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. He's been teaching all day. He's been healing people all day. He's exhausted. He's drained. I mean, I don't experience anything close to what Jesus had, but I'll tell you what, every Sunday when I get home, I'm beat. So I know he was tired. But I want you to see that it wasn't by, this storm was allowed by God to happen on purpose. God allows storms to come into our lives so that we activate our faith and trust him, because nothing happens out of God's sovereign will. Now, God doesn't, he's not a mean kid with a magnifying glass burning us, okay? It's not that when bad things happen to us, God's doing it to us. But he is allowing what he's allowing. He has blessed the human race with the most beautiful, dangerous thing we've ever been given, and that's called free will. He doesn't want robots. He gives us freedom of choice to obey or to do our own thing constantly. But these disciples, you know, they're freaking out, even though Jesus is in the boat. They're looking at their circumstances, and there's three questions that need to be answered here that get asked in this story. One, does Jesus care? Don't you even care? Jesus, don't you even care? What, are you going to let us drown? I'm drowning over here, God. Don't you care? Of course he cares. Of course God cares. God cares very much about you and I. And the truth is this. Some bad things are going to happen to us sometimes. Bad things happen to good people. I'm not going to pretend to fully understand why, but it is the way it is. I do know this, though, that God is for us, that he loves us, and he absolutely cares about what we're going through. The second question is, Jesus asked him, "Why are you afraid?" And that's a really good question. And it makes us think. Because listen, we're allowed to have feelings. Walking with the Lord, going through life, I mean, come on, it's ups and downs, curveballs, things that blindside you. Tragedy happens out of nowhere, and it rocks us. But what Jesus is ministering to his disciples and to us through the scriptures, this is why it's an eternal. This really did happen, but there's eternal truths that we get to hold on to here. Is that we don't have to stay scared. You see what I mean? When the storm comes, I mean, come on, we're human, right? It's going to startle you. That's fair. But to live there in fear and to forget, to let your circumstance be bigger than your God is a mistake. You see, we get to trust God. We are His. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are His. And that wasn't by your own doing. That was from the help of God Himself. You've been chosen. He's regenerated your heart. You and I can't do that. Come on. Look at who he got to preach to you guys. I mean, I was tagged and bagged. Amen. But he can flee. He does that. It is to confound the wise of this world. The people that think they got it, they got all the answers. They're so smart. So why do we let fear overwhelm us? Jesus is like, look, I'm right here with you. I'm here with you. Why are you afraid? Activate your faith. I allowed this to happen so you could activate your faith. So you could lean on me, says the Lord. You could lean on my truth. You could lean on the truth that you are positionally safe. Ain't no devil in hell gonna send you to hell. You're gonna spend eternity with God. No matter what, come hell or high water on this earth, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you die in your sleep totally healthy at 110 or you die of cancer tomorrow, you're going to be okay. That should give us, and look, I preach this with compassion. I know that death is gnarly. It's sad. It rips our hearts out. And I value my life. I want to see my daughter get married and have babies. I want to see my grandkids grow up. All that stuff I want. I'm not ready to go, Lord. But if you say it's time, let's go. Because I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to step into His glory. It's better to be in the presence of God than in this body. Amen. Much better. So Jesus, it gives us this truth. So when we are in the storm, you're allowed to feel your feelings, but remember that God is for you. And you can even call out to Him because these disciples did. Jesus, don't you even care? Ask Him questions. Wrestle with God. Get on your knees. Pray. Scream. Whatever you got to do. That means intimacy. When you wrestle with God, you are saying, I want to know you. I want to know you're real. I am wrestling in prayer. I'm taking all the faith that I got. And I'm placing it at your feet. Move on my behalf. You may not take me out of the situation, but strengthen me so I can shine through the situation. Give me the courage to walk through the storm, to be, excuse me, in the boat and not be afraid. God, wrestle with Him. Ask Him questions. It's not a sin to ask questions. It's not a sin to go, I don't understand what's going on now, God. It feels like you're far away. It feels like, oh, you're letting the whole thing come down on me, God. But, and that's when you quote scripture. If you be for me, who could be against me? You've said, you've promised me that you will turn all things good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So if it ain't good, it ain't over. It ain't over until it's good. Number three, who is Jesus? Who is this guy that he can command the winds and the waves? Who is he? He's the one who said, we're going to the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. When God says something, it's happening. If God says you're going to the other side, baby, you're going to the other side. You're getting there. That's who Jesus is. He's like, I said we're going to the other side. I didn't say it would be the love boat. There's going to be adversity in our lives. God is with us. God is with us. And you know what? His promise to you is he is faithful to finish what he started in us. That means we ain't done yet, baby. He ain't done with us yet. You minister to yourself in those moments. You know, I encourage you to call others and have them pray for you and encourage you. Yes, that's why we're a community. But sometimes it's just going to be you and him. And that's why I always say go to the throne before you go to the phone. Seriously. Go before the throne and say, God, I'm scared. I'm this. I'm that. I need you. What my eyes see scares me. But you are the truth. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life that I seek. You are the prize, God. So show me. Show me your glory. Give me peace, Jesus, amongst the storm. Amen? So here's the next one. Same situation, but different. They're on the lake again, and there's a storm. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted, and that Greek word means tormented by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Of course they were. That's a trippy thing to see. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? There is another eternal piece of gold in this scripture for us in another circumstance, right? This is his miracle over the natural, if you will. First of all, I validate their initial fear, because if I saw anybody walking on the water, I would freak out. So I think that's valid. But he says, Jesus says, look, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. It's me. I've come out to you in the storm. And this is what I love. Peter, he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of my comfort zone and do and step into the supernatural. You see, if you want to see miracles, if you want to be, you know, if you want to step out of your comfort zone into the supernatural, you will have to get uncomfortable. Stepping out of that boat onto water in a storm is crazy. But Peter said, Lord, if this is you, and that's what's so important about talking to God, and Lord, if this is you, tell me to step out of this boat. God, give me confirmation through your Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. These guys were with Jesus. The Holy Spirit hadn't been, you know, dispersed to the church yet. But that's what we have. We have God in us. Lord, if this is you, I'll step out of this boat. I will step out of my comfort zone because I want to see you work. I want to see something supernatural. This looks impossible. Walking on water is impossible. But if you tell me to do it, God, I'm stepping out of the boat. We have to be brave enough and trust God enough to get out of our comfort zone. Out of these, you want to see the supernatural? Get out of these four walls and begin to share your faith out there. Begin to be brave enough to go, you know what? Can I pray for you? And lay hands on people that are sick, sad, in bondage, believing that you carry the power of God and that it is your call to be his hands and feet. He sends out his disciples, right? To go heal the sick, deliver, I mean, they cast out demons. They did all that on Jesus' command. And Jesus told us to go. Go and make disciples. Well, before you can disciple somebody, they need probably to be delivered. They need to be healed. They need to be saved. We need to step out of our comfort zone, the safety of keeping our mouth shut, the safety of just, well, it's none of my business, and begin to exercise our faith. This is another thing I love about this story, or this factual piece of history, I should say, is that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the storm and he started to sink. And that's so typical of us. Amen. We start out great. Tell me to come out of the boat. Let's go, Jesus. This is weird. I'm out of my comfort zone. We start focusing on the natural. We start focusing on the circumstance. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to sink. But look, Jesus doesn't let him drown. Oh, you have no faith. Bye. He reaches down and he grabs him. He says, come on. Where's your faith? I'm right here. And he got back into the boat together. There's something significant about these happenings. Yes, they really happened. That's why people, the gospels were made to they knew that they had to log this amazing time. They were in a special time. The Son of God was walking on the planet. performing miracles, teaching like nobody ever heard anybody teach the word of God. And they said, we got to write this down. And thank God that they did. Because if this was just a motivational book to try to get us to be better people, written by man, because I'm not on the internet a lot, but I am on it, and I see a lot of people trying to still, debunk the Bible. It was written by men. We're all deceived. This is to all keep us in line. It's just another religion. And I say nay, by experience. Because how can not, it's one book, but it's 66 books written over thousands of years that all tie in together. And still we read these happenings. And they're as relevant today as they ever were. You know what I mean? Like we take the richness out of the things Jesus did and Jesus said, and it still encourages me. It still gives me that encouragement to not be afraid. That, you know what, man? I may have a lot. I may have a little. I may be healthy, I may be sick. I may be angry, I may be happy, sad, whatever. God is good. God is with me. My feelings, although valid, are not truth. I'm allowed to feel them, and then I have to measure them to what is true. And if my feelings aren't lining up with the word of God, then when I begin to read and meditate and remember what God's already done for me. Remember that he's holy, that there is no one else like him. There's only one God and he loves me. My feelings begin to change. Then now my feelings are lining up with the truth. My circumstances are the same. They may or may not change. Sometimes he calm the sea. Be quiet, still. Sometimes he'll do that for us. Other times he will strengthen us in the storm to weather the storm. And as we're in the storm, check this out. We begin to heal others that are afraid. We begin to heal others with maybe less faith or no faith. And people are looking at us and they're seeing Jesus. And they're drawn towards God. This is our gift. Because your life matters. What you do here matters. And when we obey God, when we trust him in our situations, in our circumstances, and others are drawn towards him, let me tell you something. You're doing what you were made for. You're glorifying God no matter what. That's why we exist. To glorify God and to enjoy this beautiful life that he's given us. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 17. This is miracle over disease. The miracle over dis-ease. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? He's a Gentile. Wasn't even a Jew. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now this is relevant because 10 guys, they stood at a distance because that was the law back then. If you had leprosy, you were unclean. You're an outsider. You're a nobody. You're less than the less of the less in their society. And they, out of habit, son of God, master, you know, have pity on us or have mercy on us. Jesus didn't even touch him. He just told him to go. You'll go, you know, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, okay, in obedience, they went, they were cleansed. 9 people out of 10 just went on with their lives. Peace, Jesus. Thank you. I've been delivered. I've been healed. I know you healed me. I know it was you. But I'm busy. I got a lot going on now that I'm not a leper. I got a lot of going on now that I'm not an outcast, now that I'm not an, you know, active, we'll just say, alcoholic or a drug addict. Got a lot going on now. But one came back because 1 out of 10 wanted the healer. It's not just about being healed, guys. It's about knowing God. There's the real prize. Yeah. Those of us who are in pain, totally. God, heal us. Those of us who struggle emotionally or mentally, yes, God, heal us. But it's not just, if you come here, see, if you initially come, you know, let's just say, you know, you came to church because your marriage sucks and you want it to be better. You want to find a way, or your life, or, you know, other relationships, or, you know, you just want something different. That's fine. But do not settle, because God's going to heal you. You hang around long enough, learn the word of God. Jesus will heal you. You will change. It's what being born again is all about. Born again. Dead to the old life. The old ways, the old bondage, and risen again, no longer bound to sin. Do I still sin? Yes. But I can repent and turn. I focus on Jesus and his goodness, and all of that stuff begins to be less and less attractive. Because he is so, so, so good. So, remember that God is the prize. To know him, to walk with him, to be intimate with him is the greatest gift we ever got. When he was born in Bethlehem, we're just talking about his life. He hasn't even died on the cross for us yet. And we've got strength coming out of his experiences, because we can put ourselves there. Every single one in this room has been in a storm. Every single one in this room has felt in some way, shape, or form like an outsider. When he says to the Samaritan guy, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. That word for well is sozo. And it means saved, delivered, right with God. You see, the others got healed. This guy got saved. This guy knew God. He knew that Jesus was worthy of worship, that God Almighty had healed him, and therefore he would go on with his life praising and worshiping. His life would never be the same. His life was now whole. Now I know in this physical world, we're all going to be lacking in some way, right? We've got our sin nature, and but we have, the ability, well, the opportunity to so commune with God and trust Him at His word, to operate in that wholeness. Are we going to do it perfect? No. But we have the opportunity. We do. To operate in wholeness. And it's beautiful. The whole purpose of healing and cleansing is to bring us to a saving faith. To bring us to that saving faith. God wants a relationship with us. Okay, let's go to the next one. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Another familiar account. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Jesus is walking. I believe it's Jairus' house. His daughter's sick. He's going to go, or dead. And he's going to go raise her or heal her. I didn't fully study the backstory because I was more focused on this. But as he was walking, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Crowds of people, masses of people are trying to get at Jesus. For what? For healing. He's popular. And I want you to see this eternal meaning in this. There's a lot of people that are just wanting to be around Jesus, just wanting to, but you know, they're rubbing up on him, they're trying, you know, they're touching him, they're doing all that stuff, and it doesn't faze him. But a woman that is so desperate to get to him, so that she made her way through, she's unclean, guys. She's not allowed to touch anybody either. She's not allowed to be around anybody either. But there's Jesus. I'm going after him because if I can just touch his clothes, I know I'll be healed. And so she busts her way through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus feels the power go out of him. That is the power of faith. And she was instantly healed. Now we see here, first, desperation. How desperate are we for Jesus? How, you know, I think one of the, and I'm not knocking America, I love this country, but one of our biggest challenges is how much we have. We're not desperate for clean water. We're not desperate for, you know, warmth or, you know, a lot of us, you know, I know that there, you know, some people maybe not have a home to stay in, but even our homeless are rich compared to some of the world. Amen. And this lady shows us that what desperation, really putting God on the line. If I can just, and she didn't even touch Jesus. She touched something that was connected to Jesus. So that gives me a revelation of, oh, well, that looks like the church. Because we're not Jesus, but we're connected to Jesus. That means that we too can be that person of somebody desperate to get a touch from God. We can literally be the hands and feet of Christ and be there for prayer and be there to lead. You know, come on, you got to come see my church, man. The preacher's all tattooed up, man. Come as you are. It's really not a stiff place to be. And let God heal him. Because, you know, I 100% know that God still heals. And not everybody I've laid hands on has been healed, but some of them have. One of the most strangest times that God did heal somebody when I prayed for him. I'm coming through the foyer and there's this family in the foyer and the guy's like, man, I got brain cancer. I'm dying. Will you pray for me? And like, I'm on my way into the service and I'm sure, you know, and I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. Wasn't a big rigmarole, that, you know, it wasn't, there was no oil anointing. I just, Lord, I pray that you'd heal him. And I went into service. The guy came back a few months later and said, bro, God healed me. I'm like, what? You know, not that I didn't believe, because when I was praying, I believe. God, heal him. You can do it. But it's still mind-blowing when that happens, right? It's like, wow. Not because it's just God. God is so good. Now, I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. I don't know why. But God does. He's got a plan. And it's good. We got to trust him in that. Amen? This lady had spent her life trying to get healed, trying to be freed from her suffering. And Jesus, one touch from Jesus, she was free. She was clean. See that in that spiritual sense of being cleansed from your past, All that stuff that keeps trying to creep up on you and tell you you're this and you're that, you're dead. That person died. Amen. You're free. In Christ, you are free. You've been cleansed. And you've been healed. You're healed from your past. You are. Now it's about us. Do we believe that? Are we desperate enough to find Jesus and touch him? So that I can be cleansed and I can be healed? Mark 2, verses 1 through 12, the last one in the miracle over disease. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, Peter's house. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man, I wanted you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." So there's another rich account. One, better get yourself some friends in your life that'll tear the roof off to get you to Jesus, right? They weren't like, "Okay, George, oh man, look at the crowd, bro. Maybe we come back some other time." They were like, "No, come on, let's go." In those days, so they had flat roofs, right? And they were packed clay with like beams across and then like tree branches to cover as a roof. But they had stairs going up the side of their house because they were flat. They had stairs and sometimes they would go up there and commune or whatever. But these guys they took their buddy up the side of the house and dug a hole because they wanted their friend to be healed. Make sure you have friends in your life that will not let you stay paralyzed. That they will dig, they will rip somebody's roof off to get you to Jesus. They will do whatever it takes to make sure you're connected to the one who will heal you. That's the first thing I want you to see. Next is that Jesus said the easy part first. Your sins are forgiven. I could say that. Priests all over the world say that. Your sins are forgiven. Dominus Otis. Say a bunch of Hail Marys. I'm not taking a dig at anybody. I'm just saying. That's easy to say. Jesus did the hard thing, though. Because he said, what's easier? Your sins are forgiven or the hard thing? Get up, take up your bed, and walk away. He did that on purpose. So you can see your sins are forgiven. You've been forgiven by God. Take up your bed and walk. You can get up now and walk. Your paralyzation is something of the past. I have forgiven you of everything you've ever done and everything you will do. Do not let anything paralyze you ever again. You have a relationship with me now. Get up, take up that, and it really was a pallet. It wasn't a bed, it was like a pallet. Take that thing up and go. He did that in front of everybody. Why? So they would know. Because God is the only one that can forgive sins. And he sent his son Jesus to become a man. On purpose, for a purpose. To become one of us. The greatest human that ever lived. To be our sacrifice. To pay the price that sin must be punished. Otherwise, God wouldn't be holy. Sin must be dealt with, and he dealt with it once and for all. That's the amen. It's the beautiful miracle of Jesus. Now, I know this man physically was paralyzed and physically got up and walked away. But do you see the spiritual, eternal truth here? Because we can get paralyzed by life. And that's why I say you need friends. Because when your bell is rung, you need people praying for you. You need people just calling upon the name of Jesus with you, for you. If you're paralyzed with pain, paralyzed with fear, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you any more of a sinner than you already are. Hallelujah. It just means it's where you're at. But see, your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. You are blessed coming and blessed going. And even when it doesn't feel like that, it doesn't mean it's not true. Because it is. And that's where we have to get back to, amen? We have to get, and it's a revelation of a truth. Because God is reality. More and more, and I don't want to sound like a tinfoil hat guy, guys, but more and more it feels like we're in this bizarro world where like nothing's true fully, right? Everything sounds true until somebody else said something. And then it's like, what? That sounds true too. But, you know, or what is, and I find myself always going, I don't know. Maybe. And I would strongly suggest that you take that stance with a lot of this stuff. It's like, maybe. Could be. But here's where we plant our flag. This is where we ground ourselves in the Word of God, because I know. This is what, I was just having a discussion this week with some people. And I can tell they've been on their phones a lot. I can tell they've been watching the news a lot. Why? Because they're very emotional about circumstances in the world. And look, I'm not saying be ignorant. But when you're emotionally charged, attached about what's going on around, you've forgotten Because let me tell you something. If we're free, we have a mission. If we're slaves to a robot army, we have a mission. Our mission never changes, no matter what, no matter who is in control, because I don't know who is. Does anybody in this room know? I don't know. God is in control. I was saying like, you know, all right, good. Just want to clarify. Nobody shows a clip or something. God is in control. God is in control. That's what we need to stay. God is in control. I have a mission. God is in control. You have a mission. It never changes, no matter what. I hope that brings you peace. Okay, let me continue. I'll wrap it up. Oh, one last thing. Think about this. Peter's roof got ripped off. His wife was probably a little upset. I just, as I was studying this, I'm all, that's really interesting. You know what I mean? Like, bro. Hold on to things loosely. If everything's God's, you'll be free from material fear. If everything is God's and he giveth and he taketh away, and Lord, you bless me, and Lord, you know, whatever you need, God, I'm willing to share. You've with what you've given me, and it, we all vary, with what you've given me, it's yours. If somebody needs it, take it. If somebody needs to rip my roof off so that they can be healed, so they can walk again, rip my freaking roof off, Lord. Right? Rip it off. Because you know what, God? I trust you to give me the ability to fix it. You wouldn't just leave me high and dry like that. But it's yours. So I just thought I'd throw that in there because it was interesting. My roof, bro. Lastly, the miracle over to the demonic. In Luke 4, 40-41, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses. And laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. The demons, the devil, the demonic, they all know who's king. They all know who's boss. They all know who has the authority in heaven and on earth. They all know. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. So listen, I shared that because look, one, if you're born again, if you're a believer in Jesus, you cannot be possessed. So don't worry about ever being demon possessed. Okay? But two, we can be born again and allow strongholds in our lives. Demonic strongholds. We choose that. We choose darkness, guys. The devil will get a stronghold. You are still not defeated. The name of Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Every demon's got to flee when the light comes on, baby. You need to remember that. You are not destined to be bound by anything that is sinful. The demons must flee. The demonic, any kind of like stronghold, or it can be broken off by the name of Jesus Christ. His name holds authority, and he's given us the authority to use that authority. Does that make sense? But as we have to believe that, right? His name carries power whether we believe it or not, but when I have that revelation of, because I am a sinner, guys, I don't have any strongholds, I don't think, in my life right now, but there's temptation all the time. Nope, I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't look at that. I shouldn't say that. If I make the choice, I can let that darkness in. It's easy. I mean, it's not very hard. Our culture has made it very easy to begin to operate in darkness, to make bad choices. So I wanted to share this because Jesus has authority over all of it. And we need to remember that a life of repentance is good. To repent of our sin, meaning to turn the other way. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought that. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I looked at that. I'm sorry that whatever it is. I'm sorry I yelled. You know, I turn. You're good. And I know that if I follow you, I obey you, I trust you, that's good. So I turn and I dust myself off because you've said my sins are forgiven. So I will not let myself be condemned. I will not condemn myself either. I'm not allowed. I don't have that authority. You are the king. You say I'm forgiven. So I dust myself off and I keep going, Lord. I keep going because I know you're good. I keep going because I know you ain't done with me yet. I keep going because I know that a life that is dedicated to glorifying you and thinking and serving others will be blessed. That'll make you happy, God, and that's all I want to do is make you happy with my life, the very life that you blessed me with, Lord. Right? He knew your name before he even created the earth. He knew we'd be in this crazy generation. He knew it. This is our generation where we make a difference. And we will, in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, that's 10:30. Merry Christmas. And, you know, as we celebrate on Wednesday, you know, I pray that you have a nice time of love and peace and fellowship, and that you just thank God. And if you run into anything, you remember this message. God is for you, not against you. He is in the storm with you. He will equip you. And if you start sinking, he'll save you. He loves you. He loves me. Don't forget that. It's a lot to be thankful for. Amen. So I don't want to end a sermon without giving everybody the opportunity. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you have and you know you haven't been living for him, with him. I want to give you the opportunity to just reposition your heart, rededicate your heart to him. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. But if God is tugging on your heart, I want to give you that opportunity. And I want to be clear. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's you willing to surrender your heart to the Almighty. And he was already at work in you anyway. So it's all glory to God. But we believe in this church that a surrender, it's, you know, starts with a prayer. And so we want to pray with you. So if every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and we'll pray today together. Amen. See your hand, brother. Hallelujah. So church, will you pray this prayer with us? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life, change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I turn from my sin and turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Father God in heaven, bless your people. Shine your face on your people as they go. Lord, may they be the light to their families, their friends this Christmas. Lord, I just pray your highest and best blessing over them. We love you, Lord, and may you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.